reduce it to the ridiculous. Here's how that works. Let's assume, oh, for instance, you're selling an automobile. And this guy says, oh, cost too much. Don't fight him. Of course it does, sir. What happens when you say that to him? Cost too much. You sit there and say, of course it does, sir. What's going to happen to him now, mentally? You see, he was all ready to fight. All of a sudden, he had nothing to fight. This tends to confuse him. It throws him a little off base. Nobody's going to fight him. Tell me, sir, how much too much cost? $150. Fine, sir. Let me ask you this question. How long would you anticipate that you would own this automobile? Somebody give me an answer.
3 years.
3 years. That would be how much a year, sir?
$50.
$50 a year. That would be roughly how much a week, sir?
Dollar.
Dollar a week. This would be how much a day, sir?
15 cents.
How many hours a day do you drive that car?
2 hours
a day. This would be how much an hour, sir?
7.5 cents.
7.5 cents an hour. This literally is what we're talking about, isn't it, sir? It's an hour. Now, let me ask you this question. Is the truth of the matter that you here will have not the car you have to settle for, but the car you want? Is that worth 7.5 cents to you, sir? Your own personal pride. Will you pay 7.5 cents for it, sir?
Yes.
I reduced it to the ridiculous. Now, in this case, I used nasty words deliberately, in case you didn't notice. But when I said pay, I was talking about 7.5 cents. I don't want to talk about investing 7.5 cents. What did I do? I reduced it to the lowest common denominator and then asked him to make his decision on that base with an ego conclusion. Is your ego worth 7.5 cents? Now, if he said he drove that car 7 hours a day, I'd really had him boiled in oil, wouldn't I? It would be now. Is your pride worth a penny? Now, can you do this with your product? Can you do it with an insurance policy? You can reduce those to mills. And then ask him if he will refuse his wife for a 50th of a cent an hour. And how can he decide against it? Reduce it to the ridiculous. This works. And make him make his decision on the lowest possible money factor. This is one way to do it. And a good one. Oh, this particularly works well on heavy product of any kind. Competition. Another basic area of objections. Basically, you hit this competition thing in two areas. First of all, he'll say, I've been buying it from Joe down the street for the last 18 years. I just see no reason to change. Or another variant of the competition objection, he says, brand B is better. So let's take these one at a time and see how we can use this move we're making here and come up with some answers. He buys it from somebody else. Let's assume here for the moment that you're in the plumbing supply business. And you've gone in to see a builder. And this builder says to you, well, look, don't waste your time. I've been getting my plumbing supplies from Joe Doakes down the valley here for the last 12 years. And I would have no reason whatsoever to change. I'm entirely happy with Joe. Well, of course you are, sir. How long have you been in business, sir? Well, now he says 18 years. Let me ask you this question. What were the factors that made you choose Joe over everybody else 12 years ago? Why did you choose him then? What do you think he might say?
Maybe he had an advanced product.
He could have had an advanced product. He could say that, couldn't he?
Good service.
He had good service.
He was a friend of mine.
He was a friend of yours.
He helped me get started.
He helped you get started. Now, how many other people did you look at that time, sir? As a wise businessman, you didn't just look at one. How many other people did you look at that time? Huh? 3, 4, 5. Was there any benefit to you from the change, sir? What benefit was there for you in the change? Can you afford to deny yourself this kind of benefit now? What did we do to him? Huh? What did we do?
Put down.
You bet. Maybe he better look again. That's all we want, isn't it? What we did was to put him in the position he was in at the time he made the decision he's living with now, and point out to him that the situation which existed then, the opportunity which existed then by making a change, could exist today. But we didn't tell him, really. We asked him, didn't we? All right? Brand B is better. Of course I can see why you feel that way about it, sir. Now, you became acquainted with Brand B long ago, a year ago? And you found it very satisfactory, haven't you? Have there been any changes in that product in the last year that you know of, sir? What do you think you say? All products change. Now, at the time you took on B, you took it on because in your good judgment, this was the brand that had made the greatest number of changes in your interest. Is that right, sir? In other words, what you wanted was not Brand B. What you wanted was the greatest number of changes in your interest. Is that right, sir? Are you still interested in the greatest number of changes in your interest? And where does he go? Now, you didn't say Brand B was lousy. But again, you brought him around without fighting him. All right? Location. He says, your factory, your home office, your facility is too far away. Did you ever hear this one? Any of you? Product has to be too far. Or here in the state, you'll hear him say, your facility is too far away from me, or your subdivision is too far out, or any of these things. Your office where I'd have to make my investments is too far from the house. You've heard all these things. Well, now here we get involved in a very principle of handling objections, and it's called change his base of thinking. Change his base. Let me ask you this question, sir. If you were to go from Phoenix, Arizona to Los Angeles, how far would it be, roughly, approximately? How far would it be? How far?
375 miles.
From Phoenix to Los Angeles? How long would it take?
About 7 hours.
An hour.
Now we have a difference of opinion. One man says 7 hours, another one says an hour. How do you measure distance today? Is it true that you measure distance by time, not miles? Now, how far is Los Angeles from Phoenix in the quickest possible time available to you, sir? How far is it? To 1 hour. How far is it from Prescott to Phoenix, sir? Almost as far, isn't it? In time. Isn't it true that the thing you're concerned with is the time required to take care of you, not the miles? Because the miles don't mean anything. You live by time. Is that right, sir? Well, you haven't told him he's nuts. What'd you do? You changed his base. To time, not miles. You see, winds as they are today, and I'm not trying to overdo the fact that there's TW, but with airlines as they are today, time is the least factor in American business today. For the first time in the history of this entire nation, any place in the United States, in fact, any place in the world, is within a few hours of any other place in the world. If you sit there and say, distance is nothing but a question of time, he hasn't said it. And you aren't going to be strong. Instead, you use this system I've talked to you about here, and he says it, now he believes it. And this is all you really have to. All right, now, when you talk about basic forms of objections, one of the types you get involved with most often is people. Have you ever had anyone say to you, I talked to one of the guys from your outfit a while back, and I'm telling you, I'll never do business with your firm. I wouldn't do business with you if you're the only suppliers in the world because of that dirty bum you sent here last time. How do you handle this one? You're learning. Let me ask you this question. Did you ever have one of your clients or customers come to you and say, such and such an employee of yours is a bum? Did this ever in your entire history as a businessman happen to you? What do you think he'll say? What did you do about it, sir? Now, I don't care what he says. When he finishes saying it, you say, that's what we did. And now where does he go? That's what we did. Now, this will work with everything but the boss. If it's your, I don't know how to handle this. When they object to a serviceman, a salesman, a collector, any of these areas, put the shoe on his foot. Did you ever have one of your children do something that brought one of the neighbors over saying, that kid out of my garden or I'm going to sue you? What did you do under those conditions to make sure this child didn't get you in any more trouble with the neighbors? Let her tell you. That's what we did with our man. Now, where does she go? Put the shoe on their foot. Ask them to do, say, that's what we did. This one's gone. Right now, they have no further point of argument.
Let me add a quick note here. If you ask what they would do, and you don't know what happened to that representative, and they said, I would fire them, instead of so curtly saying, well, that's what we did, I found it was best to soften it and say, you know, based on the way they gave service, that's probably what happened, and I apologize for that. But it's now my job to show you the kind of service that we can give to earn your business.
Past experience or the reputation of your firm, this is a product objection. They have to something within the firm itself. Their past experience with you. Now, this is not in terms of the specific people, but the product itself. I had a 1922 Ajax and the rear end kept falling off. Now, how are you going to handle this one? How are you going to handle it, first of all, for a businessman? See if I've got you thinking yet.
That was 1922. This is 1922.
You're arguing with him. You're doing just the thing you've been doing. You're arguing with him. Of course, I can see how you feel that way about it, sir. Let me tell you. Let me ask you this question. Did you ever, in your life as a businessman, get involved with a product line that just plain didn't work out? Did you ever have to eat a line? I know every businessman I've ever talked to has. And somewhere along the line, you probably got something that was bad. Does this ever happen?
What, but, sir?
Now what are you going to do? Hmm? That's what we did. And he's defenseless. When you put this shoe on his foot, get his description, say that's what we did, he has no place to go. Now, in objecting to, there are two other areas of product objection that can become pretty thorny. First is what I call the too small illusion. He says the product's too little to do the job. It's too small. I want something bigger. How do you handle this? You chase. What you're going to do here is do the same thing you did on the location objection. Now, what did you do there? You changed his base of thinking from miles to time. Here, you change his base by saying, well, I can see why you feel that way about it, sir. Tell me, what are you going to be measured by in your job, right? It's going to be by your competence to get the job done. Is that right? Therefore, isn't it true that the only thing we really have to look at here is whether or not this will help that competence? Because it's the competence that's important. Is that right, sir? What did we do? Changed his base from size to performance. Now, what if he says it's too big? Same thing. Exactly the same thing. One of the commonest of all objections, and I'm sure it's one every guy in this room has eaten on many occasions and found it very hard to digest. You've made a presentation to somebody, finished up your presentation, and I'll hit with this objection. He says, well, fine, looks pretty good. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll take it up with my attorney. Or he says, fine, my Aunt Mabel knows all about that kind of thing, so I'll take it up with Aunt Mabel. Did you ever hear this? Or if you're selling to business or industry, they say, well, looks okay, I'll take it up with my chief engineer. Now, I'm sure you've all eaten at this sour fruit. How do you handle this objection? Here's the way you do it. Well, that's fine, sir. By the way, what is his telephone number? Why are you going to do this? Tell you what we'll do. I'm going right by there now. Why don't you call him and tell him I'm coming? Well, this is not yet the answer to the objection. Now, am I right in assuming, sir, that all I'm going to him for is option? That I have satisfied you completely, and all you want is to have this person give me the formal authorization. Is that right, sir? What do you think will happen? If he says yes, you own him. If he says no, you can ask why. When you're referred to somebody else, you put a position where they use you as an authorizing agent, and now it's kill or cure. But it works. All right, let's see how smart you're getting. Service. I've had lousy past experience with your servicemen. How are you going to handle it? Come on, let me hear from you.
Is this ever you?
That's right. Location. I don't like where your service facility is. It's too far from me. How are you going to handle this?
Change
the
base.
Change the base. What are you going to change it to?
Time.
Time, not miles. Well, of course, you're getting real smart. Minor detail. He doesn't like the color of this thing. Now, it does everything he wants it to do, but if he could only get it in yellow, he'd take it. Or if he could only make his payments on the second Thursday of the third week, he'd make those payments on that day. A minor detail. How are you going to handle this one? Come on, aren't you smart enough yet? That's right. Change his base again to performance. You're coming along real well. I'll think it over. Did you ever hear this one? How are you going to handle I'll think it over? I'm sorry to do this to you, but I'm not going to tell you. I'll tell you why. Because I heard out that's called closing the sale. And whenever he says, I'll think it over, this is not an objection, this is an opportunity to close. And by the way, it's the sharpest opportunity to close that ever came down the pike. Whenever anyone says to you, I'll think it over, that means, mister, I've got nothing else to fight you with. But it's a closer, so I won't tell you now, you can get the record. Dirty trick. Now I'm going to teach you the best method of handling a major objection that ever existed. The very best method of handling a major objection that there ever was. And don't you forget this one. Whenever you know that you have a built-in major objection, don't wait for it. Brag about it first. Let's go back to this. Every product that ever existed has a built-in major objection, hasn't it? I don't care what you're representing. You know most of the people you're going to talk to are going to object to. And I know what you go through as salesmen. There you are. You start making your presentation, and always in the back of your mind, you're already bracing to get hit with this thing. You're seldom disappointed. But what do you think would happen if you would brag about it first? You see, if you brag about this thing, he'll never have guts enough to object to it. Can you turn it into a feature? You've got a method of handling the objection. You wouldn't have ever sold anything if you didn't have a method of handling this objection. Don't wait to handle it. Face it, brag about it first. If you will do this, I guarantee you will knock out 99% of your problem in handling objections. Because it's the big one that's laying back there for you that always creates the problem. Walk in and brag about it. Can you do it? Just take what you've been long to answer it and make it a feature. Example, the bedrooms are too small. How would you turn it? Hey, you know, everybody you're going to take into this house is going to say the bedrooms are too small. How are you going to brag about this first? Anybody got any ideas?
Coziest bedrooms.
Now, let me tell you something. We're the only builders in town that understand really the modern American principle of living. We know that an enormous number of people in America today have felt that the large, enormous home was too much for anybody to have to handle. In fact, a high percentage of our population today is getting into rooms that if we offered them in a home 10 years ago, no one would have ever bought one. They call them trailers. Where the rooms are so small you can hardly turn around. You know what I mean? And yet people are buying them all the time because there's a new thing going in America. It's compact. American women are wise enough now to know that the size of a room means absolutely nothing. It's her ability to live in that room that counts. Isn't that right? What'd you do? You bragged about the small bedrooms. Now she doesn't dare object to them or she's not a modern American woman. You brag about it for their interest, and the objection will never arise. All right, objections. This is it. This is the process of cashing objections. The principle, let me reaffirm it again, don't fight it. Roll with the punch. Don't turn it into argument, because it's an argument you can never win. Don't get involved ever again in that old-fashioned process of this. You know what I mean. You get hit with an objection, now you fight it down. As soon as you've answered it, pop, up comes another. You hammer that one down, and pop, up comes another. You never make a presentation. You spend all your time fighting objections. And this gets nobody anywhere. Don't fight them. Cash them. Thank you very much.
I couldn't let this tape in without doing a recap of what I think are the most salient points of this program. Please don't forget, we don't argue or fight with our clients or customers. They are always right. We do learn, of course, to bypass their areas of concern till the end of our presentation. Don't forget that. And also learn what we call neutralization sentences. Things like, I can appreciate your feelings there. Understand how you feel. I can totally comprehend where you're coming from. See, these are nice ways of saying, I'm on your side. I don't want to fight you. I want to help you. I want to serve you. Not only that, please realize as you listen to these tapes that there's a truth I've learned over the years. And that is, when you read a book, you go to a seminar, you listen to a cassette or a CD, it's so important that you listen with this concept. I'll take the best and I'll leave the rest. I'll be looking for those pearls. And also, let's try to be the opposite of most people. See, most people sit and listen to an idea, and they have a tendency to say, that won't work for me, that can't be done in my business. But you know what? The great minds today say, how can I make it mine? How can I do my product? How can I make it work for me? By doing that, you'll get a lot more out of these programs.
This is the end of this tape. The program continues on the next tape.